I think we should boycott everything and just move back into the woods.
Like that one, like, lady in the USSR?
If you ask any Freemasons if this is a bad thing, they'd probably say it hurts trade.
Well, you're excommunicated if you're a Freemason.
Good thing I'm not.
I'm not sure if that's still in force or not.
I don't know. I think it is.
It's still a mortal sin. I don't know if it's still under... You're canonically excommunicated. I was looking up all the, like, the excommunicatable offenses from throughout history. And there's, like, one was living with a Muslim or a Jew in your house. I'm like, oh, okay. But there
was... I was looking at, dude, there's some wild ones in there.
Did you see the one where it was like, if a king hires an assassin to kill somebody in the state of mortal sin so they go to hell, that king's excommunicated?
So if the assassin takes him to church and gives him a chance?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of what, right, you know, civil capital punishment is.
Yeah, I guess so. But what if the guy's not? And it's like, is it a sin if you don't know?
If you don't know? Well, it was with the intent. And I can remember Shakespeare, like, had a play that talked about some Roman general, like, he was going to kill somebody, but then he found his enemy praying, and he was just like, I don't want him to go to heaven. I can't kill him now. So...
That's wild.
And I thought it was just made up by Shakespeare, but the church thought it was a big enough issue that they wrote a thing in a council.
Imagine hitting someone so much that they're like, listen, it's not enough to kill them here on earth. I gotta make sure that they suffer in hell forever.
It's really weird. It's like kind of like Napoleon, who like believed in the church at least somewhat, but didn't do anything the church told him to do. So,
yeah. He's just like, nah, that's for poor people.
No, wasn't that Karl Marx?
Karl Marx said everything's for poor people until...
No, until... it was Nietzsche. Was it Nietzsche who said religion's the opium for the masses?
It could have been Marx. That might have been Marx.
I don't remember.
I think it was John Lennon.
I would have figured it was an English guy.
Well, he was on opium.
Yeah.
I think it was Marx. I thought it was interesting to find out, like, all those guys were banished, and they kind of dispersed around the world, and then they came back. But a lot of those guys getting sent in to Russia were actually sent in by Germany after World War I to destabilize Russia. So Germany kind of shot itself in the head by trying to destabilize Russia, because when that World War II rolled around...
They were destabilized enough to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Being a communist was another one of those things you got excommunicated for.
Yeah.
And like, it's one thing saying it's a mortal sin, but it's another thing saying you can't be pardoned unless the bishop pardons you.
Yeah, I always found it weird that, like, if you look at the early church, they lived together and shared everything equally, and you had to. In fact, they struck a guy dead because he didn't share everything with the church.
Well, it's not because he didn't share it, it's because he pretended like he was.
Yeah, I guess so. But they would live together. But, I mean, if he'd said he had it, but I'm not sharing, he probably would have been thrown out.
I think he would have been okay.
Really?
Yeah.
But it just seems like, obviously, that was a very socialist way of living. But socialism and communism, I guess for their other aspects, would be the reason you get thrown out.
Oh, it's, I guess, theft, you know, taking other people's stuff. And
yeah, and I guess the people were doing that by their own choice. They weren't being forced into it.
Yeah, there was a thing where it said Jews and... Not Jews. It was excommunicated people. You weren't allowed to treat them like... harm them and kill them just because they're excommunicated. Or you're excommunicated.
Yeah. Everyone gets excommunicated.
Excommunication for you and for you.
And you get an excommunication. And you...
Man, it feels that way. Some of the councils, when they were just like, and anybody trying to have an alternative council in this place or any other places is also excommunicated. And if you don't sign here, you're excommunicated. But I guess there's been a lot of rebellion to the church hierarchy.
Well, I was looking at the time that they made... I go for names and then they pop out of my head. The king who was like the first Holy Roman Emperor of Europe, Charlemagne. When they made him the Holy Roman Emperor, the actual like empress over in Constantinople. She like I think murdered her husband and then took control, or maybe her husband died, and then she wouldn't, like, reconnect with the church in any way, got all angst, so they just were like, okay, well, then Charlemagne's the rightful heir. And then, when her son got old enough to take power, she wouldn't give up the power, and so the government was like, well, we're going to take it from you, so she blinded him, so that he would be too disfigured and not able to lead the country. And the Orthodox call her a saint. She's a saint. You look at her life, and I've read like the whole thing, and I go, "What part of this was holy? Where? Why do you think that she can?" And I've never run into an Orthodox who would say she isn't a saint.
Huh.
But
who are we thinking of? Catherine the Great, or
no? That's Russia.
Okay,
I believe. I'll look it up.
I think that is Russia. She was just one of those, like, strong woman leaders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she did deal with the church quite a bit, but...
Yes, queen! I got it right here. I can read it if you want.
Go for it.
Irene of Athens was an orphan from a noble family and was married to the son of the current emperor, Leo IV, in 768. When Leo died in 780, Irene became regent for their 9-year-old son, Constantine, who was too young to rule as the emperor, thereby giving her administrative control over the emperor. As an imperial regent, Irene subdued rebellions and fought Arabs with mixed success. She also ended the first iconoclasm in the Eastern Church. When Constantine became old enough to become emperor proper, she didn't hand over title to him, and he eventually rebelled against Irene, although he let her keep the title of Empress. Soon after, Irene organized her own rebellion and eventually killed her son, thereby claiming sole rulership over the empire as Empress, the first woman to have that title in the empire.
Huh.
Let's see. Although it is often asserted that as monarch, Irene called herself emperor rather than empress, in fact she used empress in most of her documents, coins, and seals. The Pope would not recognize a woman as ruler, and in 800 crowned Charlemagne as imperial ruler over the entire Roman territory, including Byzantium. Charlemagne did not attempt to rule Byzantium, but relations between the two empires remained difficult. Irene was eventually deposed by her finance minister.
You think it's just the Orthodox are trying to be like, hey... She fought against the Pope or whatever?
Maybe. I'm trying to find where I actually talked. Like, I had something else here. Where is it? I guess everyone... I had it saved somewhere. But yeah, I guess she blinded and then killed her son. Which is... wild. And they're like, yeah, that's a saint. And she wouldn't come back to Rome. She wouldn't talk to the Pope. And then
none of the churches in communion with Rome have saints that did things like that and didn't repent in the end or something.
Not that I can think of.
I mean, there could be some obscure person, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to believe a lot of these legends about saints anyway, because after, like, before the bubonic plague moved through, we burned all the books from back then, so...
Well, also, you have the whole thing with, like, remember that Pope we looked up that was supposed to be just the most horrible thing ever, and then you read into it, and they were all just false claims given to him by detractors?
Yeah, that was... So, I mean, it could be the same thing with this lady.
I don't think so. I looked into some of the history, and it mostly checks out.
Yeah. But even then, like, you could be a historian at that time, you know.
Just make stuff up. Yeah. So there's a chance she was just, like, a really holy woman, and there was a miscommunication between her and Rome, and her son was a degenerate. And,
well, like, one of the arguments that the Holy Innocents, the martyr of those Holy Innocents never happened was because Josephus didn't write about it. Why is Josephus, like, God when it comes to history?
What if Josephus just didn't care or didn't even, like, think? Like, what if it was such a big thing he didn't even think it was worth writing about?
Well, because they say, like, he wrote about the murder of when Herod killed his sons, and that was just three people, so surely he would write about Herod killing a bunch of little babies. But, I mean, take a look at society. We don't care about all the babies getting killed, so.
Yeah, how often do you hear about abortions? A comedian that I like to listen and follow to just drove up to Portland, Oregon and killed himself. Like, assisted suicide. I didn't even know we had assisted suicide in the United States.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty
I
sure
thought it was
Oregon.
All undercover, or like underground kind of stuff.
No. It was one of the states, it was either Washington or Oregon, and he said he drove up there.
Oh, yeah, I think it is like an exception for terminally ill people, they'll let them kill themselves.
Yeah. So he drove up there, and then he changed his mind, and then he lived like a month or so, and then he went back and killed himself.
This is a comedian you follow?
Yeah, he's on. He's a comedian on the Kill Tony podcast. I don't follow him a lot. I always thought it was interesting because he was somebody who was he had ALS.
Oh yeah. Is that his condition that he got government suicide for?
I guess so. Huh.
Government's like eugenics is bad, and if you have a problem, you can die.
Yeah, eugenics is bad unless we do it. But no, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how it's coming to the healthcare, you know. There's a lot of elderly people being denied care just because they're too old to matter.
Yeah. What is his name? I'm going to look right here. Because I tried to look up where I found out about it, and it just says... it's Michael Lehrer. Lehrer. Hmm. And, yeah. So I was like... I was watching this video, and it was in memoriam, and like half... I was like, oh, that's sad. He was terminally ill, whatever. But, I mean, he was still there. I mean, probably not living the greatest life. But then, like, halfway through... They're like, oh yeah, he killed himself. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's just wild that that's now a normal thing. Because everybody was talking like it was a normal thing. Like, I wonder how many people tried to talk him out of it too.
Yeah.
Or if just his circle is pretty. I wouldn't say liberal, but they're like that kind of cool guy conservative where they're like, yeah, I like having a business and guns, but I don't care if you're gay and I'm atheist, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't imagine anybody like had the guts to like try to talk him out of it, or
well,
you know,
I don't know. It makes me think of that there's like a bridge in China where a lot of people go and kill themselves, and there's this Chinese guy, it's some clickbait on YouTube, and he'll go up there and he'll try and find people who want to kill themselves and talk him out of it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good he's not doing the opposite.
But in Asia, it's like suicide's really, really common. And there's a bridge that, you know, this is where you find people that kill themselves. And so he can go, and I think in Japan, there's something called like a suicide forest.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll go there and people will, apparently, I was watching some travel vlog, and they could have just been misleading me, but they said you'll find people, like, camped out in there, and there's, like, people deciding if they're going to kill themselves today.
Yeah. It's crazy. They think they've made it an honorable thing to do in their culture for however they do that, but it's sad to see America turning that way too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. And then you have countries that have the enforced. I mean, even in America, they're now telling women to abort, babies with disabilities.
I think that's the whole reason they have ultrasounds, is just so we can find out if your baby has a problem, so we can kill it before the state.
But then you have countries like the Netherlands. I believe it's the Netherlands and Iceland for sure, where like there are no retarded people because they kill all of them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but somebody was talking about that, like, okay, so you move there with a retarded person, and it's like, okay, they have none of the infrastructure or knowledge on how to take care of somebody with special needs because they just kill them all in the womb, and people don't generally develop, you know.
I mean, pretty recently, Down syndrome in the U.S., like, they said the average life expectancy was really, really short, like 30, 40 years old, because we just institutionalized them and then didn't feed them or whatever, and they didn't have the ability to take care of themselves, and so they died.
Yeah. There's a Down syndrome guy in my town that, like, he's, like, the local mascot of one of the bars. And if you go in there, he's just in there drinking non-alcoholic beer and peeing himself, and it's like, he's the happiest guy you'll ever meet. He plays pool. And he gives everybody fist bumps, and they're like, yeah, he's enjoying his life. And I'm sure that there's sad parts, and I'm sure there's grief on every side, but just like, we're going to kill him. It's not a reasonable response.
Yeah, people with Down syndrome have an amazing ability to keep their head up. Especially, like, if you think if you were in that situation where the world hates you even more than it already does, it would be very hard to be as happy and, like, loving to strangers as they are, when strangers just look at them like they're monsters or whatever.
Yeah, and not only that, to have to deal with all the disability and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, and the thing is, people might think they're being kind by being like, oh, we know your special needs or whatever, but you're still just making him an elephant in the room.
Yeah. Well, and when they go and ask those special needs people, if they're happy, they're overwhelming, like 90%, like, actually happy. Whereas I think normal numbers are super low.
Well, and the statistics are that they make everybody around them happier.
Yeah.
I watched this, I don't know if I'd call it real inspiring, but there is this guy talking to Congress about why we shouldn't be aborting Down syndrome people, and he had Down syndrome himself, and so I'm pretty sure the script he had wasn't entirely just made up by himself.
Yeah,
but the saddest part about it was, like, he had a whole bunch of really good reasons, and then he just said at the end that Down syndrome people make really good test subjects for genetic diseases and stuff, and it's like, you don't realize what you just said here, because you went from, I have inherent worth as a human being, to at least you can experiment on me.
That's, yeah. But Down syndrome's really weird. There is a chance he wrote it, because I was at like a gas station, and I saw one, like, jump out of a car. It was a woman, and she, like, filled up a car. She very clearly had Down syndrome. She's like a white chick with like all the Down syndrome. And so then I walked in behind her, and she was just totally normal. Like, she talked normal. She didn't have anything. And so I looked it up, and apparently you can have full showing of, like, the body problems of it and have no effect on the mind, and you can also have none of the body showing and just have the effect on you mentally.
Huh.
So there's people with Down syndrome that just look totally normal that are completely non-functional, and then there's people with, like, extreme Down syndrome, like all the facial, all the shortening of the neck and everything else, and they just have a normal brain.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, you could be just killing somebody because they look a little different. In the cases of those people, you're just whacking them off because, you know, well, let's get them out of here. They might be a liability.
Yeah, that's it.
But, yeah, we should boycott hospitals.
Yeah. Well, back to boycotting, I guess.
Yeah, sorry to take us off.
So, I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about some of what I was thinking about when I wanted to talk about boycotting. And what I first thought of was, in America in the 30s, the Catholic diocese started coming out with this thing called a National Legion of Decency. And it was designed so that people could know if a motion picture, because it didn't have sound back then, if their motion picture was going to be indecent and whether they should watch it or not. And so they went and they had a rating system, kind of like we have now, where it's like GPG or whatever, but it was like acceptable for kids, acceptable for adults, objectionable, but adults can watch it, and don't watch this film. And it continued up until about the 60s, and then it transformed into another thing and lost a lot of its influence. But at the time, they were like taking signatures in churches so that everybody would pledge to not watch objectionable stuff. And they had millions of people. Maybe not millions, but they had at least, like, a large enough following that Hollywood respected it. And Hollywood would ask them, what's this rated, so that we can make sure that we can get at least a B, because C was, don't watch it.
Yeah.
And so, there were numerous films that were, you know, curtailed to not be as objectionable, and then they were released so that we could slowly degrade our morals more and more.
Yeah, I wondered, somebody told me that, I remember hearing it when looking into it, that they were like, well, what happened was they were too hardcore, and so nobody could watch anything, and it got to the point that we just didn't respect them because they were reacting to too much. And that could be true. Like, I would imagine that sometimes those groups would go, like, extremes, where they'd be like, well, because Elmer Fudd shot at Bugs Bunny. That's clearly manslaughter.
I saw one, like they... I've never seen the film, but it's really famous, called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it's it's a Western, and they had too much violence or whatever in it. And I don't really think it's necessarily bad to watch violence. Watching violence because you enjoy watching people suffer is completely different than just watching violence, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I think I watched that years ago. I don't remember the movie super well, but I don't remember it being exceptionally bad.
Yeah, well, but you have to compare it to what you're watching nowadays. So, yeah. It might have been a step in the wrong direction. And
That's true.
They were trying to put their foot down, and I think it worked for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that it is something that needs to be brought back to a certain extent, and we need to remember to what we take in is really important.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it in the last video, I think, with that one of the things that Guardian Angels can do is help you to remember things, and the demons can do the same, and they can use memories even if you've forgotten them. So if you watch a movie and there's objectionable content in it, then that can be used to tempt you or to lead you astray, and if you spend your time watching good things, then your guardian angel can use that to lead you to better things.
Yeah, there's
so it's not like
trying to think of, but it's easier to avoid impurity than to recover from it.
Yeah.
If you're going to expose yourself to it, all those temptations are just going to come back over and over and over again.
Wasn't it Don Bosco who basically gave up on adults because he was like, well, they've already experienced so much sin and destruction that it's very unlikely that I'll be able to bring them back, so I'm going to dedicate my life to trying to keep children from getting into that.
Well, I don't know if he phrased it quite like that.
That's not a quote.
But he said something like, let me raise your kid till they're six and they'll be a good person.
Yeah, I think there have been times that his organization has fallen away from that, but in general...
Well, it also just shows you how important the first 6 years of your life are.
Yeah, that's true.
Because a lot of people are like, well, they're just kids, we're going to let them entertain themselves on whatever flashy light screen that we gave them, because we can't actually raise our kids anymore.
Well, there's scientific studies showing that children have reduced attention spans from the fact that we're just sticking them on YouTube. Not to mention they had that whole thing where on YouTube Kids, people were like uploading things that were within the guidelines but extremely wrong. Like you would have like Spider-Man twerking over, just a guy in a Spider-Man costume twerking over, like, a picture of Elsa, and then they would throw, like, sour cream on him. Just stuff that, like,
did you see that, that doll in, I don't remember, it was like a year or two, some doll was released in stores, and it had, like, a touch me button. It was a female doll. The touch me button was between her legs.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, even secular people are like, that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, like, one of the crazy things is I bet that toy company's still in business. Like, just the same as with Balenciaga put out all that stuff, and people are still buying Balenciaga. Like, if you put out an ad with child, I guess, rape or porn or whatever letters in the ad, and you've got little kids dressed up in bondage gear, you shouldn't exist as a company, and your people should never be able to get jobs again. Not like, I hope they apologize.
Yeah,
you know, but
it's just like, we don't care enough to do anything about it, and they know that.
No, I mean, if you think about it, we're using technology with batteries mined out of lithium mines by slaves. It's like 90% of lithium is mined by child slaves, and you have China making most of our stuff using slave labor, and they have a whole race of people enslaved to just basically be organ donors and work in factories against their will.
Yeah. It's not as bad in America, but there's still a lot of people that have. Can you imagine being a worker at Walmart?
No.
Here's my job, to stand in line while I watch people check out sex toys or whatever.
Yeah, right. And most of those jobs, they don't pay you. They pay you just enough money that you can kind of keep yourself alive till you're 60 and you die. Like, most of those jobs,
and you'll never have any hope of having a family or anything,
or land, or anywhere to live. And you have to scrape your way by. You probably and at the same time, you have just enough to buy like a few nice things for yourself that are terrible for you, like. And then you can probably afford to eat out a little and have some Fritos. But if you try to eat really healthy, you'll probably go broke.
Yeah.
Like, somebody said that, like, basically the diet that we can afford at this point, because the way food is structured, and it's like this liberal talking point, but they're not wrong. The way food is structured and the way we grow food, you can't afford to eat healthy. Like, actually eat good greens and meat that's not produced in a factory or on a feedlot without going broke. Like, it's just not possible.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say is, unless you have a garden.
Yeah, but if you work at Walmart and live in an apartment, there's no way you can have a garden.
Yeah.
You won't be able to, you probably can't afford the seeds. You might be able to get a couple packets, and then where the heck are you supposed to plant anything?
Yeah. Have you seen those, like, community gardens or whatever, where they're just like, here's your little plot. No, everybody respect it.
Yeah. Well, and then sometimes the community garden, they're like, everybody come together. They had one around, I saw up north of here. There's a community garden. Everybody came together and they, like, brought seeds and planted it. And then they went back and they're like, hey, can I pick some? And they're like, oh, no. This is going to the homeless shelter. And he's like, but
the homeless aren't planting it.
but also, then it went to the homeless shelter, and they didn't use most of it. They're like, well, this didn't come from a store.
Oh, that is. It's not like even food regulations against it. Protocol or whatever.
Yeah. So these people put all this time and effort into planting this stuff and taking care of it, and then, like, as soon as it got to the point, like, after the first they planted it and took care of it a little bit, they were like, oh, yeah, no, you can't have any of it.
Well, that'd be sad.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it, too, is a lot of people, especially lawmakers, look at these people in these positions, and they think of them the same way they would think. And yeah, if you're crafty and you are able to move your way up societal rungs, then it looks stupid. Like, I would say you or I could easily get trapped into a job at Walmart, but we would look around and we would save up a couple checks and we go hungry for a while and we do a side job and we figure something out.
Well, that's actually something I was thinking about today, is just like, even if I'm not paid slave wages at Walmart, I can tell myself, well, I can save up and I'll buy land or I'll buy a business or whatever. But looking at that, I'm just like, I can buy a business, but if everything goes bad, my business won't help me at all. Or I could store up for the apocalypse And I find it hard to just, like, have the hope that I'm going to invest in something so long-term that it's actually going to reach fruition, because I don't see any stability in the economy or in society.
Yeah, I try to make all my investments in that aspect something that would transfer over to stuff going down the toilet.
Yeah.
So like,
you've done a good job at that.
I've got my logging equipment and my big trucks, and I'm like, you know, if it gets really bad, I could strap a gun to the roof. Like, but you know, like, a lot of that stuff, I need to get a tractor, and I need to get more, like, stuff stored up. But at the same time, I think it's hindered my progress, because I usually take that into account when I'm investing, and that slows me down, because I'm not just planning for things to stay good.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely affects me, because I'm just like, well, and the inflation, you know, you're like, how much is my, name whatever amount, is going to be worth next year? After so-and-so prints another $17 trillion.
Yeah, so if I put it away, I mean, really, if you put away $500 last, like, a couple of years ago, and 2019. Then you went back, you're like, oh, I got all that money, and then $500 has gone so fast now.
Yeah.
It's like, and my truck takes 140, like, twice a week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's just driving around, doing all the stuff I gotta do for work. But yeah, I mean, but, okay, let's talk about Walmart. They're paying slave wages, and they have objectionable items in their store. They put small businesses out.
They're going to make you work on Sunday.
They make you work on Sunday. They have no morals.
They sell Ouija boards.
Yeah, they take all the money out of your small community and send it to a central location. Like, one guy is collecting all the money out of your town. You think, why are these towns dying? Well, maybe because you all buy something that has no input back into the community and just sucks at, you know, it's like a field that you never put any fertilizer on or have no cyclical grazing. Like,
that was obviously my grandpa, he got real upset when he saw Walmart taking over all the small stores, and when he saw mega farmers taking over all the small farms, because it's the same thing. It's we're gonna take away the entire economy from this area, and now we're still gonna tax you. You know, you still have to make.
Yeah, and they won't get taxed because they've got all the people that can move stuff around and buy stuff at the end of the year and hop around taxes. Because if you're rich enough, you can get around tax codes. But
what is it? Elon Musk paid more taxes than any billionaire ever has before. It was like any human being. He paid more taxes in 1 year than anybody in their entire life because he forgot how to get around tax codes.
I wonder if it was just because he got so, like, caught up in everything, or if because he was in the news, he was just getting audited out the ass.
Yeah, well, maybe he made somebody mad and they were just like, don't let him make money.
True. I mean, I think when you get to that level, you do have to, like, people have to let you do stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right people. I mean, that Andrew Tate guy said he moved to Romania because corruption was available to the average man there. He's like, in America, if you're not a multi, like, almost in the hundreds of millions of dollars, you can't move yourself up in the world. But in Romania, you could pay off a local city cop, and then you could pay off a business, and then just keep working your way up. Not that you should do that, but it was an interesting thought.
Yeah.
I'm not...
That's what a lot of people say about our government, is that it's easier to buy politicians than to do it the legitimate way.
Yeah. I forget. There's some quote that it's easier to buy a politician than I forget what else. But it really is. Like, I think it's true. It is easy. Like, pretty easy. If you're rich enough, it's very easy to buy a politician.
Yeah.
Because you don't even have to, at this point, you don't even have to, I mean, I've seen it in local elections here. As long as you've got money behind you, you don't even have to push, like, you could just push the other guy out, because you just have more funding and more ability to get people's eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you take all this cheating stuff to heart, which I think there was cheating in the last election, I think a lot of people just pay their way up. If you're in the know, you just give the right people the nudge, and you're in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but, like, okay, so we keep going to Walmart. We keep, like, nobody will boycott that. And I understand that, like, that's hard. We nobody will boycott against
computers. I was trying really hard to boycott Walmart for a while. And I went to the other local grocery store, and I wanted to buy a tank of propane. And they were out of propane. I'm like, okay, well, can I buy an empty tank, and I'll go take it to get filled? And they wouldn't sell me an empty tank. And they're like, we don't have any tanks. And I'm just like, I went outside. I'm like, there are a lot of tanks right here. Can I buy one? And they're like, no.
Yeah, but I think that's because...
What, like, is the point of going to you over Walmart? Because you have the same problems. And then, like, the same day, they had a guy come in, and he was like... He was a young guy. He was probably getting his first job, and he was applying. And they're like, can you work Sundays? And he's like, yeah. I'm just like, well, I don't really see what I'm supporting you guys for.
Yeah, well, the other problem is they're all playing by the same rules as Walmart, even though they're not Walmart. Like, all these companies will have the same, like business practices as this giant multi-billion-dollar
company.
And then,
on the other hand, if you perchance find a company that doesn't have all of that, the only reason they're in business is because they're playing on that knowledge that you have, that you want to not pay Walmart, not pay for slave labor, so then they charge you $11 for a box of eggs because they're like, look, it's...
But the only thing is, they're probably having... I would like, counter that, saying they're probably having to charge $11 for a box of eggs just because they don't have... Like, first of all, Walmart contracts a lot of their sellers, so you can't buy at the same prices from the sellers.
Well, that makes me think of medical equipment. Have you ever seen the breakdown of, like, what it costs with insurance versus what it costs to pay out of pocket?
Yeah, I saw somebody had to go in for, like, a very minor surgery the other day, and she had a hernia. She had a hernia, and it ended up costing, like, $60,000, I think. Yeah. I'll send the video after the podcast. But it was just crazy. It was like this insanely high amount.
And I saw an IV drip would cost you like, it was like $100 or something if you bought the IV drip. The insurance was paying too.
My thing I learned was when I go into the hospital, I tell them, and this is because I know doctors, I got doctors in the family. You go in and they go, do you have insurance? And I say, unless it's something bad. Because if you don't have insurance and it's really bad, you'll get the minimum of care. But if I just need somebody to, like, look at my foot or, like, I broke an arm or something, just like, hey, get an x-ray. I say, do you have insurance? And I go, no. Because I actually have this thing called Christian Health Share. It's not really insurance, but it is. So you just say, just put, no insurance or whatever. And then when they hand you the bill back... They'll charge you just hoping you pay something, so you'll get a cheaper bill, and then you can put insurance on there if you decide to, or just pay it. Usually I just pay it.
No, that's interesting.
But part of it is they put it so high because insurance companies want you to need insurance, and then the insurance companies negotiate down behind the scenes.
But
you can't boycott that. And then you've got, like, if you boycott Walmart, if you boycott all the stores that do these things, you're basically, that's like boycotting the tyrant ruler that hands out the bread. Like, you lived in some little medieval village and you're like, you know, our king is bad. I'm not eating the bread. You just die. Yeah.
Like, go for
that's
it.
That's what we get. Little small town mid-America, you're like, you know what? Walmart is bad. Okay. Well, now you can't get food. You know, you can grow a garden. The only way...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's the way to move, but it's just so hard to even, like, keep a property.
We need a community of people, because it doesn't make sense everybody having one cow and 10 chickens and, like...
Yeah.
The prices are going to be a lot more. It's going to be a full-time job to keep that up.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking today, it's like I put in all this time with cows and stuff, and I've got cows and chickens and horses. And I was like, okay, if I had just one more guy, I could get close. Like, if I had maybe five, it would be so easy to, cause somebody, like, I have like all the cows in this one field, and I'm starting to expand and be able to have the cows outside that field. So once that field's open, I've got this, like, pretty well-fertilized field. I'll have to go take soil samples and stuff. And I was like, that could be a 1 acre garden right there. And that'd be enough to feed quite a bit. And then I've got enough beef that I could have meat for everybody.
Yeah.
Wouldn't take a lot.
It's like the same work to do it for one person as it does for like 20. Like,
but
when I do vegetable gardening, you can grow one bell pepper plant or you can grow 20, and it's about the same amount of work because you're still going to have to go out every day and weed it.
It's the same as cooking, unless you're doing something extremely...
Yeah, like, cooking's the same way.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, I put extra 4 cups of rice in. it's not that big of a deal. But no, but they said, I was reading some study that was saying that, it probably wasn't a study, I think it was a guy talking about technology making people less social. And he said that apparently it's harder to get bands started, especially big bands, like, because nobody can work together anymore. Nobody can be in a community, and we're all so, like, pent up with all the stuff we're doing that we can't... there's no time left to just socialize or to form bonds or to work together.
Yeah, it's weird because we live in, like, the most technologically advanced society ever that we have all the time in the world to stare at a phone.
I guess. I also wonder if extreme capitalism, like, to where it's... back to sinfulness is part of it, where it's just like everybody for themselves, you've got to make it up by your bootstraps, don't help out your neighbor, he can make his own, like, and we were so scared of socialism for a while, which rightly so, that we were like, we got to the point that we just shunned anything that had to do with sharing or helping each other out, or, you know,
maybe
I don't know, I'm sitting and talking now about, like, stuff I've thought about. But yeah, it is possible. They talk about a lot of the guys that were able to not go into the coal mines in eastern Kentucky. Like, families that survived it. Like, a lot of these coal camps just destroyed families. You're like, a dad dies in the coal mines, everybody. And then there'd be, like, one guy up on the side of the mountain that was just out, that would just be able to survive because he just grew his own food, had a donkey, and built a log cabin and didn't care about, like, having money to pay in town.
Yeah.
But then they were like, that guy did great until they would get, like, a government push-out lead through eminent domain or whatever to just take his farm because there was coal underneath of him. Or they would just... one of the things they do if you were downhill, they would just, like, run off slag ponds and kill all your crops. So you had no choice but to leave. So, like, I say that those guys did fine, but you still had to be far enough away from the coal mine that they couldn't destroy you.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about eminent domain, my dad had that happen with the power line company coming in, and I actually think they paid him about the market value for it, so I guess that poor guy on the mountaintop got screwed because he... land over there in the coal mines is they don't value as anything, but to him it was his life.
Yeah. Well, and like, oh, there's also the point of, like, your dad is not, like, he's not some wheeling dealing businessman. So they might have given him, they might be like, okay, we're coming through your property, eminent domain, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to be like, okay, you gave me a couple dollars, let me go buy a place down the road and I'm going to
he's kind of going to lose it from inflation if he just held on to it.
Yeah, so now, like, he's still there. So now he has to stare up at this thing that they put across his farm against
With all the restrictions that he has, he can't build anything under it. So
yeah. So they just went straight. And I understand having to advance society. Like, that is a thing. But it's also pretty hard when... I could see it for some things, but especially when it's just for a business. Like, the business is like, yeah, it'd be really good for us to have that thing over there. Trump used eminent domain, like, a lot. And you'd be like, well, this is going to bring a lot of jobs in, so you need to take that person's house. Which is just wild.
Yeah. He because really played the good cop card.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to the whole, all these big companies are just harvesting all the money out of the community. The only money that goes back is what they're paying to upkeep their store, which now is all contracted out to statewide contractors, and what they're paying minimum wage slave labor to cut people to just be, basically be a work camp as they gouge all the money out of your community. So, like, they'll say, oh, we're bringing 15 jobs to the community, but how much wealth are you extracting? You know?
Yeah.
We'll bring in 15 jobs and all the profits, and we'll take $100 million in profits of stuff made in this county with materials from this county and take it and put it in some offshore bank account.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's really hard to boycott corporations when they run your whole country, basically, through lobbies and everything else.
Well, I just think they've gotten so blatant, though, that, like, it's becoming a... Just, you can't go there in good conscience.
Well, they've also grown to the size that a reasonable, like, a person doing the same thing can't reasonably compete. Like, even, I do some logging, even in logging, the guys that I'm competing with have gotten so big, especially the corporate loggers, that, like, there's no good chance of me catching up to them.
Yeah.
You've got people with $500 million of equipment or whatever running around, and they do four states, and they run 23 crews, and... The one thing that got them is a bunch of guys shut down when diesel got high. But then there were other people who contract their diesel who had, basically they had contracts with the oil companies to provide it at a low rate. Yeah. And their contracts lasted long enough that they made it through.
I've always liked to think that if we ever had a real diesel shortage where it was approaching $20, $30, $40 a gallon, that people would go back to some of the older ways of living and maybe life wouldn't be so the way it is, but in reality people would just take what they need and what they think they need.
Yeah, it would take a long time for society to reset, and generally societies don't reset very well. Like, you rarely see a society go back to okay. Like,
it's all gotta burn
maybe some
down.
Semblance of it.
Yeah,
it's all got to burn down, or people have to move somewhere else. Like, a lot of America was people going from a completely destroyed society, and a lot of those societies they came from are still pretty bad.
Yeah, I think we with this whole boycotting thing, we really got to ask ourselves what we need in life, because you can see what people tell you. You got to keep up with the Joneses. You got to have your 2,000 square foot house, and you got to have your perfectly manicured yard, and you got to get the newspaper, and all, you know, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
And you look at what people lived at with the past. Christ tells us if you got food and clothing, that should be good enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I've been kind of in this spot recently where I'm trying to get myself to this equilibrium point, and I've kind of set for myself, like, okay, I need to get to the point with my farm that I can live there, that I can run my cows on it, and I can keep them alive, and make enough income to keep me alive. I don't need a lot. Like, if I have 20 grand a year, and I can keep my stuff somewhat up, and I can reassess and go, okay, what do I do next?
Yeah.
But just to the point that I can make my farm payment and have beans and rice and...
Well, on the other side of that, I think we're going to have the temptation to give up, you know, little by little until we don't have any means of resisting, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we have nothing, then it's really easy to control us, because if you're just a guy shuffling around the street, then you have no power against the government at all.
Yeah. Well, and then they're going to raise your kids for you, and who knows what else.
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, now that you're starving on the street, you have to take the handouts, and then all the handouts. I mean, I think that's what's going on with they're talking about banning gas stoves. It's the kind of thing, well, if we decide to turn off the grid...
I think that's such a silly thing, because they could just turn off the gas grid, so...
Yeah, but they're talking about banning anything. Like, they were talking about banning any kind of stove that had, like, toxic fumes. So a lot of people's stoves are propane. Like, our stove is a propane stove.
Propane is so much nicer to cook on than electric.
Yeah.
Because I've never used an electric stove that doesn't have, like, some form of, like, caked on something that smells weird if you turn it up all the way.
No, you're right. It's got that little smoke that comes out from under the pot. Yeah. And then though you have those those flat electric stoves that have the inset heat, mm-hmm. and like you, if something boils over on it once, and now you've got a brown stain that you have to scrub for 2 hours to get it looking clean again.
I think it has its place, but I'd be like, it's crazy to say we're going to ban all the propane or
yeah, basically anything that could. They're like, well, it could bring up toxic. And then they had the audacity to be like, well, maybe stoves are the reason. And I don't know. This was a person's opinion, but they were like, I think that maybe stoves is the reason that people keep having all these heart attacks. Because think about it, all that toxic stuff is hard on your heart.
It finally caught up to us in 2023.
Yeah, but this was just some crazy guy that was like trying to justify everything. Which you have those guys, they're like, well, as long as my party says it, but I'm gonna find a way to justify it.
I saw the funniest video. It's kind of off topic, of Greta Thunberg, I think he was Rebel News or some guy who was at the Davos convention, and he had asked her why she never criticizes the petroleum from, I think it was Saudi Arabia and Russia. And she's like, no, I've never criticized that. And he's like, well, will you criticize them now right here? And she just kind of like laughed and left him because she wasn't going to criticize Russia and Saudi Arabia, which, okay.
Yeah, I mean, look at her parents. She's clearly a plant. I don't know how to word it, but like she's so entrenched in all that group that she got famous just for like basically skipping school. On the other hand, I do believe we have some we do have to be stewards of the environment. So like the conservatives with it will be like, what do you mean you love the earth? I'm dumping 40,000 tons of petroleum byproducts into this river. You can't stop me. Like, that guy's bad, too.
I'm putting mercury in your water.
But, yeah, but at the same time, the environmentalists are the reason that we have this huge increased mercury in all of our lakes and rivers, and you can't eat any fish because we made all of our light bulbs out of mercury for how long?
That's true. I really hate how when the EPA or whoever like decides to protect a bird or whatever, and so they make it illegal to keep it in captivity or anything.
And that is, if we're protecting it. Okay, I'm going to take a couple of them and I'm going to breed 400 of them. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, or they say, there's this endangered species, you can't build this building here. You know what somebody wants to do when they're told that? Let's kill all the endangered species so I can have my building.
Yeah. Well, but I just said, like, okay, I'm down here in Kentucky, and they won't let me have, like, all these different animals, because they're like, okay, well, it's like, can I have deer? Well, not without this permit and this permit. Okay, why? Because if I raise deer, and I am breeding deer, and one gets out, I just add it to the pot, like, what?
Yeah, you know. It's weird that the state thinks they own all the deer when it's grown on private property.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be partly your neighbors, so, but I don't think your neighbor's asking you to pay him for the deer that you shot. So
yeah, we're sharecropping deer here.
It's also kind of weird. Kentucky has like a constitutional right to hunt. So it stemmed from the English king thinking that he could own all the wildlife, and we didn't want to be like that. So we're like, you have a constitutional right to hunt, and then they make all these conditions so that you can't.
I have seen, I saw a couple years ago, and this is probably a case-by-case basis, but there was this mountain man that they drug in, and they were like, do you have a fishing license? And he's like, no. Like, do you have a hunting license? No. And they're like, well, you were hunting and fishing? Yeah. And he's like, I have a right to sustain myself. He's like, I live out in a cabin in the woods, and I eat deer meat. Like, you, whatever you do to me, however long you put me in prison, I'm going to get out, and I'm going to do it again.
I don't recommend and, that tactic for all the listeners out here.
No, but he won. They found that he had the constitutional right to basically forge for himself, mm-hmm. and they stopped harassing him.
Yeah.
But I've also seen videos where that same tactic was used, and the guy lost.
Yeah. It is crazy, though, that they think they can own all the wildlife. And
yeah.
It's not like you can just buy a deer. They're fine with you shooting the deer for $20 or whatever it is for a tag. But if you go and say, I'll give you $20, can I raise the deer? They'll say no.
But one of the crazier ones is there's a farm that had a bunch of European deer get out, and so they just run around the woods here. And I wanted to go catch some because you can legally own them. These deer have been out since, I don't know, the 40s or something, and there's like two or three self-sustaining herds of them. And I was like, I'd like to go catch some and breed them, because I'll have good enough fences, I can keep them in. They're smaller than our native deer, they're supposed to eat better, and they're like easier to take care of, and they're cool, like they're something that, so I was like, I want to go catch like two or three, and I want to go get like a buck and a couple breeding does. And so I was like, it's an invasive species, they're not supposed to be here. And generally, you're allowed to destroy invasive species, and it's also recognized as a farm animal, basically. And so I went and tried to get permission to do it, and they're like, absolutely not. We keep those for ourselves. Like, so you have an invasive species running around, and you've decided to leave it because it's cool. Yes. Okay. There's an overpopulation problem, and so you're thinking of hunting them. Yes. Yeah. Can I go catch some? No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do the same thing to the native deer. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll tell you all the time. It's like, we have too many deer. Okay, can I catch one? No, we don't like it if you do that. That's unsportsmanlike. Why? Because we decided.
Well, how? I think Indiana has like all these. A lot of states have caliber restrictions, but Indiana has one where you're not allowed to shoot with anything. It's like a centerfire cartridge that's smaller than a 243, I think.
Well, I mean,
I think the whole purpose is so that you don't use an AR-15 to go hunting, because I don't know what Democrat thought making you have a bigger gun was going to keep you from buying an AR-15, but...
I wonder if they were just so they could be like, AR-15s aren't for hunting, because they clearly would be fine for hunting. I don't know.
Well, then they've come out with cartridges for the AR-15, like 50 Beowulf and others that are just designed to get around those rules, so that you can have an AR-15 with, like, the 50 Beowulf is not a necked cartridge, it's just a straight wall.
Uh-huh.
And so it has about the same force as an AR-15, fits in the same, everything's the same except, like, the magazine and the barrel. And it's just crazy that we decided we have to make a rule. I think maybe it's just so that people, like, to try and put an impediment on poor people so that they can't hunt.
I guess. I mean, but then, that's one of the things in Kentucky. You have to bring, in certain counties, you have to bring all your deer in to be checked now.
Yeah.
So if you shoot a deer, now you have to bring it into the station and check it. And then you bring in a deer, and they're going to be like, where's your hunter safety card? Well, I shot it on my own property. You didn't go pay for your hunter safety class. No. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then you know, the next step's like, okay, I want to shoot a deer in August. Deer are overpopulated, right? Yes. Okay, I want to shoot a deer in the summer because I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
You got to go buy a permit for that, or get a nuisance permit for that.
I hear that the game wardens where I am, they have an annual meeting every year so that they can figure out a new way to stick it to us.
So, oh, I'm sure they do. I know they have one here because I went to it. Mom tried to get me to run for
game
warden.
How are we going to catch those mean poachers trying to feed their families?
It wasn't game warden. It was something else. It was like, it was some head of like, but basically it was like some sort of like elected official, or maybe you put in your name for the job, but it was, you worked with the game wardens, and I went to the thing, and the whole meeting was basically like, how are we going to get them? And I do agree that there's got to be something, because I've seen people catch, like, 6,000 crappie or whatever, you know, over the course of a couple of years.
Well, I think it's completely different with the lake that we stock.
Yeah. Yeah. But
especially an artificial lake or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, a normal lake could be fished down to the point that you can't, you know, that you're destroying it for everybody else. But, I mean, I feel like that should be a case-by-case basis. You should just pull up to somebody who has 6,000 fish in his boat and isn't a commercial fisherman and be like, hey, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't like the idea of having to buy a license to do something. Like, I could see them putting a restriction, like, listen, sunfish are suffering this year, so we're sorry, we have to limit you to 10 each a day. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. But when they say, you're going to jail because we've caught you twice fishing without a license, and you clearly are in, you know, direct violation of our law. It's like, that's something that should just be, I mean, albeit there's not really any rights, because if somebody has more power over you, they can just take them, and that's what this is. Mm-hmm. But if you're just going from a human aspect, the ability to fish and hunt is like the most basic rights I can think of.
Yeah, I was thinking, like they might be able to say, well, my great-grandfather signed a treaty, so you don't own any of the land in the entire world. But it's still immoral for them to say, therefore, you don't get to live.
You know what I would say? My great-grandfather didn't agree, so he was always not binding on him.
I mean, we kind of have to respect the rules in place, so long as they're just, because otherwise we're just making more chaos for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. But then there's also the point, it's like, who puts you in charge? Because you don't seem like the God-appointed king of me. Like, I don't... Like,
well, in the past, the Pope did decide a lot of land disputes and stuff.
Well, and...
That's why all of South America speaks Spanish.
The Pope is like, who's the most Catholic country?
Well, it was between Portugal and Spain, and the Portuguese guessed where the 50% mark was wrong. And so Spain got most of everything. So they just got Brazil, because they took everything east of Brazil, and Spain took everything to the west.
Which, at one hand, they, like, that wasn't the greatest idea, but on the other, Brazil is a pretty big country with quite a bit of, like, resources.
Yeah, the Portuguese still figured out how to exploit them.
Yeah. It's still crazy that you show up to a place with people there, and you're like, okay, how are we divvying this up? Which, I mean you through conquest and beating a people, I mean, that's how it works, but I just imagine you and I walking onto, like, a really nice farm, and there's, like, a farmer over there, and you just ignore him. You're like, so, okay, which half are you taking?
Yeah,
walk onto one of Bill Gates' farms. All right, which one do you want?
Yeah, he's the largest landowner for everybody. Not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, like, the restrictions that we don't have. Other countries as well. Like, you have Australia, where it's getting bought up by the Chinese, and Africa, where all the mineral rights are getting bought by the Chinese, and... Yeah. Canada, where all the people are getting replaced by the Chinese. but like, and there's just nothing, there's no rules against it, there's nothing, like, you would think you'd need to be a member of the country or something.
Yeah. That's the whole reason that we're not more isolationist is because we make more money exploiting other countries. And
every normal person would be isolationist. It's just the people who make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, if you look at the South, one of the big problems the South had is that the North was making more money by keeping our doors closed, because at the time, there wasn't, like, shipping, you could make stuff cheaper here. And so they made money just selling it to everybody else. But the South needed to export all its goods, and so to keep, for these people who owned slaves, to keep shipping out and making money, they needed to ship their stuff across the sea. Well, maybe the system that enslaves people and requires global global trade, which it seems that global trade has always, at some point in the system, used slavery, isn't the right way to go about things.
Lowers the price of things.
Yeah, and then because you're competing on a global scale, it makes sense. Whereas if you're in your own town and you started enslaving your neighbors, the rest of the neighbors would probably shoot you in the head. You know?
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of accountability when you get so big and so powerful that you just don't have to stand for.
Yeah. Well, and it's easy to push our problems off and just say, well, it's poor people on the other side of the world. We don't have to see them, so we don't have to care about them.
Well, that's the other problem. If as more localized communities, if Jim down the road is exploiting even his own kids or something, and you, he's got this product, you can just as a town go, you know what? I'm gonna make the chairs, or I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna provide the milk, or whatever Jim does, you can just shun him for that, you know. And Jim's going to have to either move on or become better. Whereas at this point, you have these huge corporations with strangleholds who can produce at such a lower price that you can't compete. You can't. There's no way to break up the monopoly, and there's just no point. And like,
so I guess really we're saying we got to do more than boycott. We also got to like get together and support companies in unison.
Well, yeah, we have to support companies in unison, but I think at a certain point, like, companies are kind of not good. Like, really the only way to survive in a godly manner, I think, is to come together with enough people that you can survive and kind of remove yourself from the system. I really don't see another way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because unless you can, like, okay, well, we need food. Somebody's going to have to grow the food. Hey, we can't just boycott and say nothing's going to happen, because if one of us doesn't also step in to fill the role, then the boycott is pointless.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to fill a role on a global scale, we'll never be able to compete.
Well, there's certain things you can live without, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And those things you shouldn't try to fill the role of. But
like,
there's
a Oreo, for whatever it's gay pride stuff, it made a box of rainbow cookies, you know? Like, yeah. You can live without your Oreos.
Skittles made one for Gay Pride Month, and they got rid of all the color because the only true rainbow is the LGBTQ color. And somebody's like, did they just make white supremacy Skittles on accident?
Wait, so they were white?
Yeah, they were white. They just made white Skittles because, I mean, it's all food coloring. So it was just this, you buy the gay Skittles, and you buy, they're like, these are the best Skittles, because we're supporting LGBTQ, and they're just white.
Yeah, when a company does that, I can live without them.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's some things you just can't live without, you know? It's just like, the pig farms and stuff. You worked for a guy, and he wanted you to work on Sundays, and if every farm around that sells that product does the same thing, you have to eat food, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And so now you have to band together and find somebody to fill in that role. And then you have to make a pact with each other, like, okay, well, we're going to support that guy as long as he does a good job. And that's... Yeah.
Well, and a lot of it, you can't do as an individual. You need a lot of infrastructure that one person can't make.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. Like, we are not made. We are tribal. And look at any human living in any part of the world, and you see them thriving without all of our modern technology. There is no singular people anywhere. Any uncontacted tribe is a tribe. It's not one guy living in the woods and another guy living 30 miles away, and they just do fine. Humanity doesn't work like that. You need like at least five or six guys, and then they're wife or wives, you know, and the kids, and they work, the men hunt and the women gather, and the men are out there working the hard tasks on the farm and the women are caring for the garden, or else you just crumble. Like, this rugged individualism where you make your way is basically just feeds rugged, like, being self-assured is really good, and making your own way and pulling yourself up wherever you should is really good, but complete rugged individualism really just feeds you into the meat grinder.
Well, part of it is thinking that you don't need other people and thinking that you're going to be able to do it by yourself, but that's not how it works.
First of all, that's not how humanity works, and that's an anti-Christian concept completely.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, that goes all the way, it's perfect, infiltrated everything. Like, even religion, you have, many of the Protestants will tell you, I don't need another person to be around God, I can do it myself.
Yeah.
I don't need some priest to baptize me, I can just have a relationship with Jesus and interpret the Bible however I feel and pray by myself.
It's really strange that you actually don't need a priest to baptize you.
It's true, but you need somebody to baptize you.
Yeah, but it can be a pagan. You can
that
have
is
a,
true.
You can have a pagan baptize you, so long as they intend to do what the church is doing.
But you can't baptize yourself.
That's true. Yeah.
So you still need somebody.
I wonder if you can just pay somebody.
I guess.
Like if
I,
you somehow, like, stumbled across a catechism or something, and you were living in Hindustan or somewhere, and you're just like, man, say these words.
For some reason, like, you were like, had Christian parents, but you were in prison or something, just some crazy thing where you couldn't be baptized, and they died, and now you're the only Christian left, and you're just like, well, who will baptize me?
Yeah.
But, I mean, even further, you need Jesus, because Jesus died for our salvation. Jesus was a man. Without him, we would not be able to go to heaven. So, there you go. There's another human that you needed for your salvation. Fully God, fully man. We didn't just do it ourselves. And, like, all down to this, there has to be some form of working. This isn't communism.
Well,
this isn't, I steal from you and distribute it however I feel.
Yeah.
This is people need to come together and work together.
Yeah, and it's one of those things they say in monasteries is like, if for example, you're good at fasting or whatever, mm-hmm. well, then you're the abbot or whoever is going to make you fast harder than the guy who's not good at fasting because he gets unhealthy. And so he in his weakness, has to take more food, and you in your strength have to be humble enough to not eat as much as you want. And we have, you know, certain gifts that we're going to be held accountable for, and we can't just say, well, God gave me this, sorry for Chuck, he doesn't have whatever, I'm just going to let him fend for himself.
Well, I mean that goes down to God gave me, or I have this to the current generation not passing wealth on to their kids. Like, there's all sorts of ads like, hey, don't. Like, it literally, I saw an ad where basically...
Wasn't there a billionaire that wrote a book about that?
Yeah, it's the one that did all the investing, that is Warren Buffett.
Yep, yeah.
Warren Buffett is only leaving, like, $1 million each to his kids, and he's worth billions, I guess.
Which is still a lot of money, but...
It is a lot of money, but if you're...
Honestly, they might be better off only being left $1 million.
That's true, but if you read his book, he really underplays $1 million.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he doesn't think it's much at all.
He's talking.
It's like if you or I gave our kids $100.
Yeah. Oh, good luck. Just basically, you're homeless at that point. You know, if we go off his percentages, also it wouldn't be $100. Whatever his percentages would probably be like less than a penny for us.
Yeah.
but then, so yeah, that whole, like, the boomer generation that won't pass on their wealth. I saw one where it was like literally somebody like, hey, mom, like, you know, can I have this in the will? And the mom, it was basically like, and then she went on a cruise and spent all her money. And it was an ad for a vacation company. And it was like, don't leave it for them. They can get it themselves.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I did, before I forget this, like, all that stuff we're talking about where you have to come together, to have a functional community of people helping each other out, you have to have morality.
Yeah.
It's the reason that, like, the only community, hippie communes never last, but the Amish have been going for hundreds of years. Like, they have a flawed faith, they have flawed beliefs, but they have a morality that holds them to a certain standard, and... There's bad people in those groups, but there's a certain point where you'll be ostracized if you get so bad that you're destroying things. And with today's modern society and with the way that we live, that whole system of being held accountable, or when you would basically be like, well, you're being uncharitable, you know, those kind of things, calling people out for their sinful actions and for destroying your community, whether it be through sexual romps with kids, like they do with, like, all that stuff. Like, that guy in a small community would be shot. But in this huge society at large, we talk about how he has an illness and needs to be taken care of. But when it's just 12 people and one of them keeps raping your kids, it doesn't last, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think we got to also address the, like, because we say we gotta, you know, come together, it doesn't mean we gotta help people who won't help themselves. Because that's a lot of what the problems of communism are. Is
some people have to starve to death. Like, that sounds bad, but some people will not work. Like, they will not pull their own weight, and they would rather die than to do what they need to
if
do.
If you won't work, don't eat. That's what St. Paul said. It's not a Pocahontas quote.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also a communist quote, but they were taking away everybody's food, so it's kind of...
None of you guys were willing to work.
But yeah, there's guys like... there's a guy down the road from me that he's on the draw, and he's got, like, some little livestock in his backyard, but none of it makes him any money. And he does it... He's able-bodied. Like, he's good enough that he gets around. But all he does is he just, you know, kind of sits around and smokes cigarettes and everything else, and he waits for his welfare check to come in. And it's like, okay, well, are you actively searching for a job, or is there anything you could do? Because, like, even if you're a wage slave down at Walmart, you'd have enough money to eat, you know?
Yeah.
But he's just not going to do that.
You know, and when the Constitution was written, they talk about how the government has the duty to protect the general welfare, and so mm-hmm. they never envisioned this idea of particular welfare, where we give money to a particular person. And I think I'm with them on that. It's not the government's job to help out particular people, even if they need it, even if it's your Christian duty to help them. It's not the government's duty.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, well, I also want to put in the aspect that, like, this guy, if there was no general society around, like, if he wasn't expected to have to go down to Walmart to have certain things to be okay, he'd probably make it. Like, he's got a couple animals, and he's got an acre and some stuff. And probably 100 years ago, he would have just had a corn patch, and he would have just been generally kind of okay. But because there's free handouts there, then he just doesn't.
Yeah, I was really, really disappointed in society when they did those COVID stimulus checks or whatever, and they're like, everybody gets free $2,000, and everybody was like, yay, I got my free $2,000, and I'm just like, you guys are literally the problem.
Yeah.
You're rejoicing over the government printing money, giving you 20% of what they actually printed, and...
Yeah, we got nothing out of that, really, if you look at the numbers of what went to who.
It was $10,000 per person. They gave out $2,000 per adult. That's per person, so for the kids, I don't know if it was $200-$300 or something per child.
Yeah.
But they were still withdrawing $10,000, so that's $9,000-something that went to other COVID relief.
Which all got... We're helping it to run a resort, and that took in people from a tornado down here, and they had a government fund that put all these people up in the hotels, and then they aren't paying the hotels. So it's a government organization that took all this tax dollars from like COVID relief funds that were redirected to this, and then they took all this money, and then some of it was private donations into the government organization. People donated to this. So instead of actually paying the hotels, they've hired like two secretaries, and now they have a communications person and another person. So they added four more salaries, that are like a couple $100,000, like $100,000 a year each, or close, and aren't paying the hotels because like, oh, we ended up using our budget, so thank you for your charity.
Yeah.
And this is like months and months where we didn't make any money. We put these people up for free. People who probably could have found other stuff. Like, we would totally do charitable things, but this is how we make our living. And the government actually took the money. Then took the money from the people. Took the money. Some of them even had, like, they took the money from the insurance, and it was supposed to come processed through to the hotels. Yeah. Nothing. They just kept it. And then they'll get away with it, too, because they'll just keep it wrapped up in litigation until it's all gone. Just like these towns that will get, they'll raise taxes for infrastructure projects, and then next thing you know, the taxes go into, oh, well, we actually had a higher budget than intended this year. Well, what was the higher budget? We hired two new people, and everybody got a raise and a bonus. And then,
That's the thing about government employees, is that they manage to make everybody's salary based off of, it's like a tier system, but... But the idea is that you're getting paid kind of like an average American, when the reality is the average American's getting paid less, but there's some billionaire that's offsetting it so that you're getting paid the statistical average rather than the actual average. And then what you're doing is you're just teaching kids for 9 months of the year or whatever and telling them how they should be gay and then going on vacation and complaining how you don't get paid enough.
Yeah, that was a great, like, the teacher thing is one of the ones that just absolutely drives me up a wall. Because they'll be like, okay, well, this teacher in this school only makes $30,000 a year.
They make more than that.
Yeah, they all make more than that. That's like the lowest in the country or something. But
I think it's $40,000 is...
Yeah.
Maybe...
They'll be like, I barely make $40,000. And you're like, okay, all your kids flunked this year. you have a positive success rate of like -3.
You take you only work 9 months of the year.
Yeah.
Doing
you take the summer off. And like, I know teachers who take the summer off and they're like, I'm like, what do you do with your time? I'm like, well, I coach Little League. What? Get a job. But they're like, they'll also tell you like, well, I don't get paid for those 3 months. But I'm like, you're still making $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's always easy to feel bad because it's super easy once you have to not to want more and to not be okay with what you have. Because I have a friend who's a teacher, and when he first got it, he's like, I'm making more than everybody I know. And he's still making more than everybody I know, but like all the talk has gotten to him to the point where now he's like, I mean, we really could use a raise. Like, I do have to drive. You know, so it...
Yeah. It's true that 40,000 doesn't get you what it did in 2000, but...
No, but for also, most people aren't making what teachers are making. Yeah. I'm not making $40,000 a year, not even close.
Yeah.
You know, I make enough to make my farm payment and eat ramen. That's like... that's about all I can do.
Yeah, and we're healthy young men and we're not making what an obese 50-year-old woman's making sitting at a teacher's desk because she thinks she can do English.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference is that our lives matter, but...
Yeah. I'm not saying I'd rather be her, but...
No. But I'm not saying her life doesn't matter in the sense of, like, human life doesn't matter, but the fact that she's dedicated her whole life to something that will give nothing back to her in the end.
Well,
but at the same time, all of our dads were able to walk into whatever, like, they could work into the most menial labor job ever and support a full family on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't a compulsive spender and you were willing to move a little
complete
bit
alcoholic. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. Even the coal miners, the coal miners were, I think coal mines were one of the first places where businesses realized that, like, oh, well, if we just don't have anywhere else to work, we can just strangle them to death.
Yeah.
I guess you have the people that were employing the Irish up north, so maybe it's a longer, in the workhouses in England. But like, I think there was a lot of time where small business growth was really the reason that these people could do it. Because you had enough small businesses in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s that were paying a living wage that the corporations who hadn't completely taken over everything had to still compete with them some.
Yeah.
Like
the thing about small businesses is that like you try and do the math for making a small business and you realize you can't compete with overseas on so many different jobs. So
no, like
you can't manufacture anything and pay your people a living wage.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at trying to get a sawmill because I looked at. That's the one thing that's kind of hard to like. It's still kind of hard to bring lumber in from other places.
Yeah,
but like I don't know. I even like the bigger businesses. Like any sawmill that I haul to that isn't owned by local Joe who's just barely making it himself won't pay me anything. Like, there's a guy down the road who, if I bring him white oak, will give me a decent price. But if I go up to the national buyer, they're like, yeah, we buy by the pound. Because they're buying from a giant, you know, corporation that can do insane amounts and just make money on the margins. Yeah. And all those guys...
They make money fixing the market, pretty much.
What'd you say?
They make money fixing the market.
Yeah, they really are. It's so yeah, they'll buy logs by the ton, and I can't even bring him a ton of logs most times.
Yeah, this farmer I worked for, he made most of his money by buying fertilizer so many cents cheaper, and that was how he made his money. And so a small farmer can't compete because you can't even get the discount for buying enough anhydrous.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at doing feeder cattle, and the whole reason that I want to do farm to table is the only way I can make money is if I can get like granola moms to be like, okay, this is farm raised in this county, farm to table in your county, feelings please, you know, because otherwise I'm trying to compete with these guys who can buy like one of the things I can buy one cow for about $600 to $1,000. If I go out west and I buy a pot of 60 cows, I can get them for like $325, $350 mm-hmm. for heifers. And that's such a huge difference. Yeah. And that's how those guys make their money. They take tractor trailer loads of cows and then they feed them like waste runoff. Cows, like a lot of the guys around here, they feed the cows chicken manure with waste milk on top of it. So, like,
when you said waste runoff, I was thinking about like the ethanol waste, which is actually really good feed. But
yeah, except for that it rots their teeth out. I can actually get ethanol waste for my cows, and I talked to a couple farmers around here, and they said we quit feeding it because the only thing it's good for is if you're going to fatten a cow up in like a couple months and then kill it.
Well, you forgot to brush their teeth.
What'd you say?
You forgot to brush their teeth.
Come here, Bessie. Running across the field with a toothbrush.
Isn't that what a curry comb's for?
I think so. I had a guy come over. We both know. I won't bring his name up on the podcast. But he was like, can I buy some of your cows for my kids? And I was like, I guess. And he's like, are these ones safe for kids? Like, and I'm like, they're cows. he's like, well, they'll want to play with them. And I'm like, well, I mean, like a normal sized kid would probably be fine, but like I wouldn't put a toddler in here. And he's like, oh, that's probably too dangerous. Like, why would you put a toddler in the cow pasture?
Yeah, like maybe get a rabbit.
Yeah, or maybe just tell your kids like, hey, don't mess with the bull. Like
Well, your bulls are really nice, so.
That's true, but one could still step, like, they could still get hurt.
A normal cow could step on a kid and kill him.
I was just showing, I was like, look, I'm in here petting him, and, like, but I was like, on the other hand, I'm more comfortable with livestock than 99.9% of the population. I steer wrestle on the weekends. It's like my, what is called a second job, but, like, it could be if I was better at it, you know? I hope to make it my second job. And it's like, so I have, like, no fear around cows. And I get hurt, too. But most people are going to flinch, and then they're going to get run over and die. You know, or you're going to run out and be scared or whatever. But yeah. I don't know.
Well, and a lot of people are a lot more fragile than you. Like, they fall off a horse, and they broke every bone in their body. Got to go to rehab for 3 years. And
I may be a little weird, but I'm still, like, way above 6 foot and way above 200 pounds. So I'm not, you know, like, a toddler is a huge difference in that. At least he's trying to do something. At least he's out there. He's like, you know, I don't think I want to buy... He told me, he's like, I don't think I want to buy beef from the market anymore. Because he's starting to see how it's, like, not good for you, and that the way they're doing it is wrong. And like I know several guys, and they're not bad guys. It's just they're these large scale farmers who, because they just sell at auction, because they just sell to the commodities market, they're forced to do these things to stay afloat. So they're now out there feeding chicken manure, or you know.
I can't verify it, but I heard that the reason our like catfish industry failed is because we were buying it from Southeast Asia where they were growing it in septic waste.
That wouldn't surprise me. They do, they grow, all our tilapia is grown in septic waste. I think it's supposed to be cleaned, but a lot of tilapia are grown in the end, like in the wastewaters off of sanitized human waste.
But my dad hates the catfish from over there because catfish is really sensitive to the water purity.
Uh huh.
So, it has, you know, a fishier flavor.
Yeah.
So.
Well, not to mention, like, what all is in it. I saw something where they're saying, well, like, the tilapia that's raised in that treatment waste has, like, a lot higher heavy metal content and stuff.
Yeah. Well.
So, like.
You can imagine what people are flushing down the toilet.
People call Alex Jones crazy, but all the human, like, hormones that are coming down the toilet from birth control are so potent that they are actually, like, causing hermaphrodite stuff in fish and frogs and causing males to, like, to miscommunicate and totally destroy their endocrine systems. Like, that's not some, like, made-up thing. That's really real. And I know that our city waste in the town that I'm from...
I think it's 90% of the hormones in the birth control get excreted into the sewer. So
yeah.
So that's 9 times the amount to sterilize a woman.
Every day.
And it's I think it's 11 million pills are flushed every day. So that's...
Well, like, our city, it just dumps it in the river. So it goes into a little river that's near our town.
That's enough birth control to sterilize every woman in the country.
Yeah, well,
but it's not people, like, it's not all going into women; it's going into the ocean for the most part. But how you're still drinking some of it.
Yeah, I'm sure some.
And their dosage isn't just like this is enough to sterilize you. It's like this is damn sure gonna sterilize you. So
yeah, which I mean, you look at how horrible that is, even just from like a mood perspective and like how damaging it is overall. It's so crazy that that's legal.
Yeah. And then we have to pretend that there's no long-term effects because
anything to allow hedonism, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
but no, so that all goes the whole idea of today's episode was to talk about boycotts. How do you boycott any of that other than just like burn it down? Like there's no way, like, the only way you can really do it is remove yourself from society and then try to keep yourself away from as much of that as you can. Because there's, like, you can't fight all of birth control. Maybe you could get a group together that's strong enough to get somebody elected into government. But at this point, if you don't have enough money to pay that person, what's the point? You know, that person's just going to get off, you know, outspoken by everybody else. What's his name? The guy with the kind of like whitish, like light colored hair that went up to Congress and then just left because he was like, I realized that it's not even worth my time. I can't remember. He would always stand up and like speak against people, like a Republican, Democrat, whatever.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, he was just like, I'm going home.
Yeah,
like, I thought I could make some change. He's like, this is all just a scam.
Yeah, we'll post it right here.
Yeah, we'll find it. But yeah, so I mean,
and the thing is, it's not that we can't compete. We can do things as well as anybody in the whole world. But if we can't compete with slave wages.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're going to keep doing.
We have to care about people enough to say, all right, well, I'll sacrifice my Netflix subscription so that I can help.
I am not 100% on this, but I guess Disney's Mulan, the newer one, apparently they filmed it in a place where they actually edited out Uyghur concentration camps from the movie.
Oh, really?
And then they thanked like the municipalities or whatever of China for letting them film in China. Like they thank them at the end of the movie. I should be fact checked on that because I heard that and I was like, okay, well, anyone.
Well, even with that aside, Disney has already told everybody that they're not going to film another movie unless half the people are gay or minorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but just down to the fact, like, even if you're not Christian and you're just, like, for some reason against genocide, having a account with them, like this new Disney Plus or whatever.
Even if you're like, Muslim, and hey, the Uyghurs are too.
Yeah. Yes, especially if you're Muslim. If you're a Muslim and have a Disney Plus account, what the heck? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, Disney vehemently supports all this stuff that Muslims are against too, like abortion and like all this forced generous
deal. For all the people who don't know about the Uyghurs, you want to say a little bit about them?
Well, yeah, they're a group in China that are just being ethnically cleansed because they don't fit the national like narrative of what they want China to be, and especially because of religious belief, and because they are like somewhat, I guess, freedom loving is one way to put it, but not necessarily, just will not
a little bit
give
more
up
rebellious.
Yeah, they've just been rounded up and put in camps,
and they've been sold for their organs and.
Yeah, so it's like one of the largest...
They've literally killed people for their organs.
If you see a woman walking down the street with a weave here, it's either from, like, Cambodia or somewhere where people are so poor that they're selling it for there, or a lot of them are... They literally have wig factories where they'll let Uyghur Muslim women grow out their hair and then sell their hair.
Huh.
From these camps.
Huh.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, we still do business with them.
Yeah.
Like, it should be a complete, like, blockade against
China.
And
you can say, how did America let the Rwandan genocide happen? You hypocrite. How did America let the Nazis kill however many people they killed?
And you sit here while we have the largest genocide in human history with abortion going on, and we have the real genocides in other countries where they're doing the largest genocide there as well as a genocide of ethnic cleansing at the same time, and you're like, oh, well, I like my shoes or whatever. And, I mean, unless you have a group, I do see where you can't actually boycott them as a person and live as a singular person. It's just not fun. You would be naked. There's no way to do it. But, like, as a country...
Well, you would be so crazy that they'd just lock you up if you even tried. If you're just like, I'm only going to wear animal skins that I caught or whatever, you know?
if you were the king of America, you would be going to hell for trading with China. Like, if you were like, oh, yeah, well, I make money off this, so we're going to keep doing it. If this was a nation, you should go, really, as an American, America should say, hey... We're not trading, because we can survive as a country. We could close our borders and live like Japan. We would be fine. There would be things that would be inconvenient, but we would be fine.
Yeah.
But
Japan has a lot harder case to live by themselves because of an island nation and everything.
And they still did it for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Before we forced open their borders. Like, you know, they still...
Well, and what we don't realize is they still want to be isolationists. Like, you look at the immigration in Japan... And we say, America's so hard to immigrate to. We're the easiest country in the world to immigrate to. All you have to do is be like, oh, la, la, la.
And walk across the border.
Yeah.
Or just come here and overstay your visa. You'll be fine. Most of the time.
Well,
unless you don't fit some narrative.
Millions of people immigrated illegally last year. Millions.
Yeah, it's such a huge number. But that's all just to keep the factories and stuff going. That's just because those people will work for nothing. They're like, well, they work harder.
It's not just for that. It's also to destroy our unity. It's to tear our country apart.
It was probably 8 years ago now or something. Where they were talking against immigration, and one of them goes, well, who cleaned your toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That ain't like Nancy Pelosi or something.
I want to say it was a Democrat lady, but...
Yeah. But basically, they're like, who's going to be your slaves? Like, and then like, we look around like, we don't have slaves. That's you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are the ones bringing in slave labor.
They're
going to
clean our toilets. I guess we will still.
Yeah. I'll clean them just like I did before. But I mean, that's the same argument. Like, you look at the North where they're bringing in the Irish. They've been doing it this whole time. They're just bringing in a slave labor class. That it's actually cheaper to pay this minimum wage. Because now, you've got to take care of your health care, you have to take care of your food, you have to take care of your housing, you have to take care of trying to find a woman and get clothes and food, all this stuff, and they just give you like, ah, here's $8, good luck.
I don't think you can ignore that it's still better for those people than where they came from. But the thing is, bringing them here isn't making where they came from any better.
No. Bringing them here, then we just take the most able-bodied people, turn them into our meat grinder, and turn out products that nobody needed most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what is one of the largest migrant worker things for agriculture? It's tobacco. We don't need tobacco. Well, the tobacco farmers would have to pay a higher wage. Okay, I'm involved in the tobacco industry, or used to be. It's like, oh no. What if they have to pay native people from here a wage to grow the drugs?
And
you know?
Well, that's a big topic right there. For one, the price of like a box of cigarettes is not the growing of tobacco, it's the taxes they put on it. And for two,
yeah,
we have had such a boycott against tobacco for no reason whatsoever, because I guess the puritanical Americans have said that tobacco's bad for you, when you can find popes and saints who smoked occasionally. And
well, I really don't think that tobacco's that bad for you. I think it's the chemicals we put on it.
Yeah, I think you got a good case for that. I think being a chain smoker is going to hurt you either way. But so long, doing anything in excess will. If you eat just like 3 pounds of cheese for every meal, you're going to have problems too.
And he has problems. On the back of the cigarettes, the Surgeon General's warning. They'll say like one cigarette has however many chemicals and several heavy metals. You're like, well, tobacco doesn't have like any of those heavy metals. Or heavy metals. Yeah. So it's like I think like okay, this cigarette has I wish I could look it up, the Surgeon General's warning, but it'll be like it has all these different chemicals and all these heavy metals. And you're like, okay, if I just grew tobacco in my backyard and then burned it, it wouldn't have any of those chemicals or any of those heavy metals. And then all of our research is based off of like a normal cigarette. They're not taking something on like unbleached paper and tobacco grown organically under a net in your backyard. It's off this stuff that we're putting every chemical known to man on.